Well, excuse me, princess.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 364, recorded on October 1st, 2014.
Welcome to the 364th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 197th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Paul S. Novak.
I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry and occasionally offers other features as well.
Yeah. Well, we don't have any special segments this week because I'm too
probably
because
there's lots to cover.
I guess. I'm going to tell you what I did this week. I went to Pepcom's Digital Experience. I snapped a photo of four Wii controllers, each of them with a logo of Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, and Toadstool. Just a logo, you know. So the green Luigi controller has an L. The Mario is red and has his M logo, that sort of thing.
Well, that's cute. If I wasn't already perfectly satisfied with my golden Zelda controller.
Okay, I'm going to send you a photo though. That's as good as a. But one of the special things they were at this conference was I finally got to be in contact with 3D printers, and the thing is that 3D printers had really only been at CES. Or at least the ones, and this time they were at Pepcom here in New York, and I got to check them out in action.
I'm sure that must have been very exciting for you.
It was fun feeling the pieces. Now, I had you watch a documentary last.
You did, and let me make no mistake. I consider it a personal favor that I sat through that film.
Well, anyway, it's called Print the Legend, and
Print the Legend.
And the reason why I asked you to watch it is because I wanted to get your perspective on what on the background of what people are doing in behind the scenes in order to get their stuff done. Now these people are working with hardware, and I was wondering if you could identify with them from the software side or from something completely different.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question?
Well, this is about development of hardware. I was wondering if you saw any parallels to developing with software, and the sacrifices.
I can see the same kind of parallels in projects that I've been on, specifically like dates slipping like they had with that Kickstarter campaign and, changes in philosophy at some point.
Does it make you laugh when people accuse you of betraying them? Say in this case, what they did with MakerBot when they decided to go from open source to closed source, basically because of economic issues, right? But people acted like that was a betrayal.
Well, I kind of agree with everyone who says that because I've never worked on a project that made such a fundamental shift.
Well,
midway.
How fundamental is it? How fundamental?
But like it would be like if tomorrow Disney released a held a press conference saying that they are now only going to provide entertainment for adults like hardcore porn. I mean, like that's how radical this open source, closed source thing was for this company.
Right.
And I'm not surprised that there was a backlash for it. Now if you want to avoid something like that, you just don't start with the whole closed open source thing.
Don't say we're going to do this. Now it's open source. But
not even that. Just don't make it your whole platform. Like,
that's a
utopian ideal that is very difficult to live up to. Know yourself and know what you're getting into when you start a company. Companies are for-profit endeavors.
Right. So how do you feel? Now, do you find see, the thing about this is that at Pepcom, they actually had affordable 3D printers, not by MakerBot, but by someone XYZ Printing.
Never heard of them.
Yeah.
Is it extrusion or laser?
I think it's extrusion.
Okay.
Anyway, the thing is that they had one printer for $500 and another printer for $700, which would do two colors, because that's one of the limitations right now with 3D printing is that you can only do one color with the home stuff. But the thing that prevents me from, ooh, goody, I want to get one, is that I don't have any practical applications for having a 3D printer yet. I might, because I may want to make my own board games, you know, and being able to print out my own pieces would be nice, or at least prototypes. I cannot...
Okay, I mean, I'm going to reserve judgment on that particular comment.
What do you mean, about making board games?
Yeah, I mean, you don't, unless you're doing something particularly gimmicky, you don't need your own manufacturing pipeline pieces to prototype a game.
Well, I know that.
Penny will do as a token.
Actually, I have gems. You know those small round stone-like gems that are sort of translucent? I have tons of those, you know, that I use for, say, money in a game. But I'm just saying, you know, suppose I want to make my own fancy schmancy, you know, piece that I want to prototype and show to someone who, if I ever get to round to mass producing, but that's neither here nor there. What I'm saying is that I'm missing the battery door to my Xbox One controller. I cannot find it anywhere, right? And suppose I lost it. At some point, maybe in the future, it could be nice to go say at Microsoft to tell me, well, do you have a 3D printer? I say yes. Okay, we're going to send you the file that allow you to print out a new replacement battery door for your controller, so you don't have to buy one or send one out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be nice, but that's in the future, you know.
That would be a nifty little customer service tool.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's going to happen, you know. You can't find a piece that, you know, that's not too technical. You know, say, I can't find it. I say, oh, no, we'll print you out a new print out a new piece, you know. So, or even board games. Hey, you lose a piece from your board game. The company says, oh, here's the file so you can print out a new piece for your board game.
You know, I do have to say that one time I got a Harry Potter Scenet as a gift, and when I opened it up, the wings on the Golden Snitch token were broken. So I had to write to them, and they sent me a new one. You know, but, I mean, those things were metal, which is why the laser printer.
Well, these are plastic.
Right, which is what, well, I mean, that's why the laser one was more appealing to me as an individual, just because it will eventually provide me the options of different materials. But still, I mean, when you saw those people moving into new office spaces, they, you know, had to buy their office furniture and put it together made out of wood. They didn't like 3D, and these are companies that specialize in 3D printing. They didn't 3D print their own office furniture.
Their 3D printers can only make stuff that's 4x4x4, so.
Right, okay, well, that's really helpful.
Seats, you know. I mean,
So let me just wrap up my point, is that that entire documentary was a complete waste of my time, because it didn't tell me how 3D printing will benefit me as a private consumer. Okay. As just a normal user.
I'm not sure.
Not an industry, not a business, a private citizen.
But at some point it will be. And, you know, the thing is that being able to do that kind of replacement, you know, for stuff in the future, like 5 years from now maybe, you know, maybe 10 years from now, it'll be almost standard, instead of, you know, you'll have your 3D printer as sort of like you have to have one for whatever.
Now, here's what would make it interesting to me.
Okay.
Okay. If I could, once I printed something out, let's say I printed out, you know, a My Little Pony.
Okay. A little figurine.
Okay. Or let's say I printed out like the whole sixth collection.
Well, you know what you could do is you could customize and make your own little Snowback pony.
Yeah, whatever. So I print out a whole bunch of My Little Pony figures because I'm on a kick one day.
Right.
3 years from now, the show is no longer in production. I kind of don't really want them anymore. If I could melt those back down and turn them into something else little or no loss of plastic product, that would make this an interesting technology for me. All right, because at that point, we could say, you know what? I'm going to 3D print me some lamps for my living room. And you know what? 5 years later, when the styles change and I want to remain modern or avant-garde, I could melt down my lamps and print out some new ones. That would make this interesting for me.
What's wrong with just doing a yard sale?
You have to rely on other people to come and buy your crap.
But there'll always be
at a reduced rate, by the way.
There'll always be a market for people who want little My Little Pony figurines.
Right, but that's the thing that I'm talking, like, that's the kind of benefit that I am looking for as a consumer. I want to be able to repurpose my plastic in new and interesting ways. And once you do that, the next step is for me to be able to take any plastic.
Right.
And melt it down plastic to make something usable. Right, so that, you know what? That's when a whole new company gets to come along and be like, well, one of our main things is reducing waste. Why rely on the expensive process of, you know, having other recycling firms, you know, waste product or energy or whatever, when you at home can go ahead and repurpose your existing plastic right now?
You know, there's a new company that was also at Pepcom, was this company that buys cell phones in any state for cash. You know, that sort of reminds me of that. You know, just if you have an old cell phone, you can give it to us for cash. And I still have a Galaxy S2 that's perfectly fine.
Right, because what they do is strip out the
parts,
the gold and the tungsten and all the rare components in it.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to move on to game news.
I have no idea what any of that 3D printing stuff had to do with games, but okay.
Well, it's something that was discussed on the show for on and off for a long time.
Yeah, and you know what?
But here's the thing about games, you know,
I love that they're 3D printing guns and limbs and like it's a great stuff. There's just no reason for me to have one.
Well, you know, people who play World of Warcraft had Blizzard had their little service of if you wanted to, they could print out your character, your favorite character in 3D and send it to you.
Yeah, that's lovely, but we haven't gotten outside of the realm of tchotchkes.
Well,
that needs to stop. Like, we need to find a better individual consumer use for these things.
Okay, we're going to move on to game news. And this item actually is a continuation of something we talked about last week.
I love when that happens.
Microsoft announces Windows 10, and this comes from CNN Money.
Ooh, a reputable source.
They're all reputable sources. We are a reputable source, believe us. Most of the time.
Trust us with your children.
Maybe not that far, but trust us with your consoles and your computers and your
That's a joke that only some people
will get. I know. Microsoft showed off the latest version of its flagship operating system at an event in San Francisco on Tuesday. It wasn't a complete unveiling. Microsoft focused on a handful of features that will benefit business customers. A quick rundown includes the return of the Start menu. The Start menu is back and includes a new personalizable space for favorite apps, programs, and websites. Apps in Windows. With Windows 10, Microsoft has standardized the format for apps from the Windows Store and regular desktop programs. Multiple desktops, a feature that Mac users have enjoyed for years, the ability to create and swap between different desktops. The Snap feature, which allows users to work on multiple apps at once from the same screen, which has been redesigned with a new quadrant layout to allow for up to 4 programs at once. And the most noteworthy aspect of Tuesday's announcement was a revelation that Microsoft will allow business customers to choose specific Windows features to upgrade one at a time, rather than being forced to transition all of them at once from an older version, which to me is strange.
That's mildly interesting.
Microsoft says Windows 10 will run across the broadest range of devices ever, from computer products like PCs, tablets, Xboxes, and phones, to enterprise data centers and the quote-unquote Internet of Things connected devices. There will also be just a single app store for all of these formats, and Microsoft says it will be possible for developers to write an application once and then deploy it across multiple types. In related news, Microsoft also announced that a Windows 10 technical preview is now available for download right now for free. Much like what they did with Windows 7, you know.
Uh-huh.
They allowed people to try out and send feedback on Windows 7. I know you're still using Windows XP.
You will pry my Windows XP out of my cold, dead hands, and I will not be happy until that's on a t-shirt.
By the way, a lot of people are wondering why they went from Windows 8 to Windows 10. And the answer will make you, a programmer, laugh, is that in the embedded code, Windows identifies itself, and it says Windows 9, which either means Windows 95 or Windows 98. So in order to avoid sort of a Y2K situation, they decided to go straight to 10 without completely screwing everything up by introducing a Windows 9.
Yeah, there's no reason to. It was the 90s. We didn't plan ahead. Let's just, I can see that.
They probably thought it would be like Windows 2014 or Windows, they would go with years, except they decided to go with first codes like ME, Millennium Edition, then XP, and then we're just going to go with numbers and go with 7 after Vista, 7, 8, and now 10.
Yeah. Much better that way.
Have you seen the new Windows yet?
Only in Best Buy.
Okay, so here's the thing is that it really does look like...
but I don't think that's the one you mean.
It looks like a souped-up Windows XP, the same, or Windows 7, the same taskbar, the same start stuff, start window and all that stuff, except when you open stuff up, then it goes on the side to the Metro format. So it's sort of like a balance between the two, because once people... thing people hate about Windows 8's Metro format is so incredibly difficult to get out of that format into the more functional start menu, and Microsoft had to hit themselves over the head. Oh, you know what? People like things to be easier, and in terms of being able to find stuff, because Metro may look easier and it may be very touch friendly. But God, it's hard to navigate and it's hard to get to where you want to go to and it's hard to spawn between stuff. This way you have the best of both worlds and you still have touch functionality. But now it's like this OS is made for computers, not tablets, even though it'll run on all of them. So, yeah, I mean, when Windows XP is finally phased out, and unfortunately for you, they were going to phase it out at some point, you can't cling to it forever.
Sure, I can. Watch me.
At least Windows 10.
Nothing says I need to buy a new computer.
And, they're doing the same thing they did with Windows 7 after the disaster that was Windows Vista. Have you noticed? They're making sure
now
that people get in on the front, on the ground floor, and they can, they can send feedback to because that's why everybody loved Windows 7, was because it was Vista 2.0, and it was Vista that people actually liked because people were able to get feedback and all that stuff. So I know you're not going to upgrade because, again, like I said, you're not until nothing runs on XP anymore.
Operating system, because I have no faith in Microsoft's ability to put out a good one anymore.
But Windows 7 was good. It was highly, you did not. What was wrong with Windows 7 to you?
What part of Cold Dead Hand did you not get?
Okay. But it's good to see that they're making the OS, for computers rather than for tablets, and that, once again, people will be able to do feedback. And apparently, you're not going to be able to do feedback, okay? Hold on one sec. Okay, I'm back.
And you came back right when I was done. That was kind of awesome.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Paul.
Ms. Pac-Man. Oh, Ms. Pac-Man joins the fight against breast cancer, and this comes to us from Games Industry Biz. Bandai Namco Games America has teamed with the National Breast Cancer Foundation to launch the Ms. Pac-Man Pink Ribbon campaign. A new maze will be sold across several Ms. Pac-Man and Pac-Man iOS and Android titles for 99 cents through October 31st. All of the proceeds from purchases of the level will go directly to support said foundation. Additionally, Bandai Namco said the in-game user interface and artwork for these games will change to reflect the pink ribbon theme. The publisher encourages players to share high scores via Facebook and Twitter and to challenge friends and play the game and donate. The games on iOS featured the pink ribbon camp. Other games on iOS.
Games on iOS featured in the pink ribbon.
Yeah. I'm just trying to improve the copy as I read it. The games on iOS featured in the pink ribbon campaign include Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man Lite, Pac-Man Lite, Ms. Pac-Man for iPad, and Ms. Pac-Man for iPad Lite. On Android, it's just Ms. Pac-Man and Pac-Man Plus tournaments.
Why just iOS and Android? I don't get that. I mean, don't ask, and I'd rather use a hardware that actually uses a gamepad. I know they have special gamepads, but still, I'd rather.
What other platforms would you have to see this included for?
I mean, Xbox 360, Xbox One, PS3, PS4.
What games are on such things?
They have Pac-Man. They have Pac-Man on those things. They have Pac-Man. Pac-Man.
I highly doubt that they are done by the same developers.
Namco Bandai. I mean, come on.
Right. The same way that Disney licensed out its characters to different teams.
Well, anyway, it's a nice idea, and October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, in case you haven't heard.
Yeah, 99 cents, you know. It's less than a cup of coffee right there.
See, now I find this fascinating, because neither Pac-Man nor Mrs. Pac-Man have breasts to be concerned about, so this is truly an altruistic effort on the part of these beloved video game icons.
You know, it would be funny if they actually had to deal with, awareness of obesity in the United States. That would be a little bit more appropriate since they eat so much.
Cookies are a sometimes food,
and they also,
kids.
You know, they also pill pop a lot, too, just so you know. They're called power pills for a reason. You know?
They're called power pellets, thank you.
Still.
Get it right or pay the price. Ooh, that's another t-shirt line.
You know, those aren't ghosts. They're supposed to be monsters. As a matter of fact, you know, once they had Blinky tore off part of his fur, and you could see...
Red is Clyde.
Clyde. No, Clyde is a scared one, isn't he?
No, Red is Clyde.
I'm pretty sure Red is Blinky.
No, Red is Clyde. Pink is Pinky. Blue is Blinky.
I'm going to find out their names right now. Yeah, it's Blinky is the red one.
Then which one's Clyde?
Okay, red is Blinky. Pink is Pinky. Cyan is Inky. And orange one is Clyde. And I know orange is Clyde because it's always the last one. And he's the one who's scared, who will go and who will actually be the only one who runs away. But he'll also like to go into the tunnels because, you know, he likes to.
Now I'm going to have to look for my copy of the Pac-Man cartoon on DVD.
They may have changed the names, by the way, for the cartoon.
Like I have said about Zelda, all of the naming conventions in Pac-Man, in my mind, are tied in with the cartoon.
Here it is. In the Pac-Man World games, he's named Clyde. Blinky.
Or Red, right?
The red, yeah, one. Yeah, he's named Clyde in the Pac-Man World games. Which
right.
the
and in the cartoon.
Based on the cartoon, isn't it? Aren't they?
Yeah, see, that's what I mean.
In the Pac-Man cartoon, he's also slow-witted and cowardly with grammar problems. In Ms. Pac-Man...
Yes, that's what makes him interesting.
In Ms. Pac-Man, Clyde is named Sue.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? In when the Pac-Man cartoon included... there wasn't a time when there was not a Miss Pac-Man in the cartoon. No, they had Sue in there, too. There were five ghosts.
Yeah. In Japan, they're...
Inky, Blinky, Winky, Clyde, and Sue. I always liked Sue. She was funny.
In in Japanese, their names were Chaser, Ambusher, Fickle, and Stupid.
Well, I mean, that would probably be what the translations were, but they probably used those words as proper names. Yeah.
They also had Kinky in Pac-Man Arrangement, by the way.
Excuse me?
Kinky. He was the yellow ghost in Pac-Man Arrangement.
Uh-huh. I'm just going to let that one sit there.
But he was the scientist who...
It's a family show.
He was a little tiny ghost who would combine with the other ghost and become a bigger ghost. So.
Right. Now, okay, if you say so.
In Pac-Mania, you had Funky and Spunky.
I don't know why we're talking about this anymore.
In Junior Pac-Man, you had Yum-Yum. Come on, how...
I'm just going to ignore you and hope that you go away.
What? You don't like a ghost named Yum-Yum?
Moving on.
Anyway, so we're going to move on to the next item. And the next item I was on the fence about including because it was very tangentially related to gaming, but you insisted that I include it, so I will read...
I wouldn't say insisted. I would say there's probably a reason to talk about this, but we'll continue on.
But the thing is that now I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to let you have the floor on this.
Oh, okay, yay.
Okay, Facebook apologizes to lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer users. Is that Q? Queer? Because I know LGBT, but they added the Q there.
The Q is immaterial.
Okay.
I purposefully remove it.
The Facebook apologizes to the Facebook apologizes to differently. No, that's stupid. Facebook apologizes to LGBT users and plans "quote unquote" substantive changes. And this comes from Ars Technica. 2 weeks ago, Facebook was forced to address a firestorm over its real name policy after several hundred drag queens and performers were targeted in a spree of user reports. On that day, Facebook responded by sending a message to those account holders: either switch their Facebook public Facebook names to legal names, or convert their accounts to public "quote unquote" pages, which lack certain normal profile features. The affected users had 2 weeks to do so, which ran out today. However, instead of disabling those hundreds of accounts, Facebook went in a decidedly different direction. A meeting between the affected performers, including the original complainant Sister Roma, and company officials took place at the Facebook campus today, and according to a ValleyWag report, it ended with Facebook issuing official apology and promising quote-unquote substantial changes to the real name policy. Shortly after the meeting, Facebook CPO Chris Cox issued a lengthy apology in which he admitted the site flagged LGBT users' accounts because of a single user's reports. He also clarified that as far as Facebook concerned, quote, "our policy has never been to require everyone on Facebook to use their legal name. The spirit of our policy is that everyone on Facebook uses the authentic name they use in real life. For Sister Roma, that's Sister Roma. For Little Miss Hot Mess, that's Little Miss Hot Mess." How do they find out your drag name, Paul? Little Miss Hot Mess.
That's not even funny enough for me to respond to.
Cox also spoke to the site's
apologies to Miss Hot Mess.
Cox also spoke to the site's reasons for implementing policies about names and anonymity, including there's lots of room for improvement about the reporting enforcement mechanisms, tools for understanding who's real and who's not, and the customer service for anyone that's affected. These have not worked flawlessly, and we need to fix that. The controversy arose just as competing social network Elo started enjoying more mainstream coverage, particularly thanks to that network's No Ads Ever manifesto and an explosion of invites to its current beta implementation. Over the article goes on to state that Elo really sucks, you know, and the only reason why I was getting attention was because of that issue.
Well, that's the opinion of the article writer.
That's neither here nor there. Go ahead, Paul.
That's opinion. That's not fact. Okay, so I'm going to put aside for the moment that that a member of Facebook says that this particular community was targeted.
It was a single user's reports, and I'm wondering if that was them showing.
So one person complained.
What I think is that that person was showing how certain people, not necessarily the people who were ultimately affected, were able to exploit Facebook for their.
So here's how I read that: one person complained, and Facebook responded by targeting an entire community.
I think they said a report, so that tells me either a financial report or someone, you know, because one of the biggest problems with Facebook are those farms, you know, those like farms in countries in which you pay them to get likes for your page. And I think that was the issue. It had nothing to do with the community of drag queens or anything like that. It was just that people were exploiting it. And now I think Facebook is taking the idea, oh, listen, you know what? You can have that name, but that's the name you're going to use from now on. You know, you can't switch between them or something like that, you know. So go ahead and you can.
Well, here's why it's particularly relevant to us and our listeners. Facebook pretty much is the largest social gaming platform currently on the market.
I say game. Make sure you stress that, because people might have misheard you and said social network, but you're talking about the gaming aspect of Facebook.
Right. I did say that if you were listening closely.
Okay.
Getting back to what I was saying, Facebook is currently the largest social gaming platform on the marketplace. And aside from, you know, this particular issue, which I don't really feel is pertinent to to our program, but what they've done here by taking a particular stance on an issue that doesn't really affect their business is that they've given an up-and-coming competitor billions of dollars in free publicity. And the reason why this particular reporter has an issue with Elo's, you know, current situation is that they've gotten so much publicity, their servers cannot handle the...
Oh, and he's gone out.
developer.
Okay, stop. You cut out. Just start. Their server has gotten. That's what I last heard.
We might for the first time have a competitor in the social game space.
Paul, can you go back and just start from the beginning of your point that the reason why, you know, that it's because of that, because the part of it got cut out.
Okay, I don't know where you want me to go back to, and I don't know what I was saying.
The reason why their site has gotten such massive hit, you know, is down.
Okay, so here, what Facebook has done by participating in a controversy that it had no business being in, because it didn't profit them at all, is that they've gone and handed billions of dollars of free publicity to an up-and-coming competitor. And now here's what makes me really excited about this as a game maker, is that this new social platform is blowing up. I mean, the reason why this particular reporter has an issue with them is because Elo's servers cannot handle the massive influx of users. Like, they've got to buy new hardware, you know, to keep all of this data. That is really exciting to me as a game maker, because we, for the first time since, let's face it, MySpace, might be looking at a real new platform in the social gaming space, in the same way that we have iOS and Android as two distinct platforms. So this is something that we might really be keeping an eye on, and it looks like it might be successful where other competitors to Facebook have failed because Facebook made this giant blunder on this issue. And as a tagline, PS, you don't piss off the LGBT community without financial consequences.
Okay.
Just saying, there's a little lesson out there for you people.
Okay. So I don't know quite what to add to that, so we're just going to move on. Go ahead.
Because I made my point clearly and succinctly. Aren't you happy?
So we're going to move on. Go ahead, Paul.
That was well thought out on my part, I must say. PS Vita firmware 3.30 launches soon, brings theme support. And this comes to us from IGN. As promised at Sony's pre-TGS press conference, when new Vita firmware was teased, Vita Update 3.30 is going live tonight, Wednesday, October 1st. Vita's 3.30 firmware update allows personalization of both the start and home screens on the handheld. You can tinker with the additional background images, actual background images, application icons, and even the background music that plays while you browse. According to Sony, there will be non-game themes called Crystals, Four Seasons, and Stitching available for Vita owners to use right off the bat, as well as themes surrounding three Sony first-party exclusives, Uncharted Golden Abyss, Tearaway, and Freedom Wars. Additionally, the PlayStation 4's ability to see the rarity of any trophy on PS3, Vita, and PS4 will be brought to Vita. This update is reportedly mandatory.
Yeah, I wish Jordan was here because he's the one who really owns a Vita. But, you know, I mean, Vita's been experiencing a surge lately, and I don't know if it's tied to any game. It's just been, I guess it's because of the PlayStation now, you know, the functionality of the PlayStation 4, even though it's not that great. So it's interesting to see.
And just to keep me up in the conversation, the Vita's the one that doesn't have any physical component to its games. It's all download. Or am I thinking of a different system?
You're thinking of the PSP Go. I think PS Vita does have physical software, although it does have a lot of digital software too.
Okay, so it's a hybrid, but it relies mostly on digital. Okay.
Well, for its most expensive games, you know, like Uncharted, you know, and Tearaway, those are physical. You know, I think they're discs. I'm not sure if they're discs or if they're cartridges. Oh, damn, I'm so behind on the Vita. This is why we need Jordan here, because he knows they're cartridges, right? He knows everything about the Vita, and he, you know. So anyway, this is just for all those Vita users, Vita listeners. I think Arthur V is one of them. It's not Arthur V, and it's not Alpha Shard. Oh, it's Paolo Predke. He's the Vita. He's the one who listens a lot to, you know, and responds a lot to the show. He owns a Vita, and you know, Paolo has not been writing in lately. I'm disappointed.
I hope everything's okay in his personal life.
Wasn't he going to school now, into college? I think.
I don't remember.
Yeah, see, that's...
I barely remember what I'm doing.
See, Powell, you have to write in because we forgot everything about you. Except with...
Wait, what's this kid's name again?
Powell Fredke. He's from...
Never heard of him.
Just like you.
Never heard of him.
See, and now we need you to write in so that you can remind us that you're alive playing...
Squirrel!
Playing Vita games and going to school, I think. Okay, we're going to move on to the next item.
Hey, Jonah, there's a squirrel. There's a squirrel out there. Squirrel!
The Sims 4 free content updates to include pools and Star Wars costumes. And this comes from IGN. Several free content patches for the Sims 4 have been detailed. Starting this month and continuing through December, these patches will deliver a number of updates and changes to fix bugs and provide players with new opportunities and enhanced customization options. The currently available October patch includes a number of seasonal updates for Halloween and some community-demanded additions. First, the ghosts of dead Sims can now haunt the living, each with intact personalities, but whose behavior is altered according to their mode of death. There are also Star Wars costumes for...
Ooh, that's interesting.
What? The ghosts?
Sorry. That their AI is altered depending on how they died?
Well,
come on, that's kind of awesome.
We're going to get to that in a moment. Star Wars costumes for Sims have also been introduced, allowing players to dress up to their characters such as Princess Leia, Darth Vader, X-Wing pilot Luke Skywalker, and Jedi Master Yoda. Wait a minute. Okay, I'll get back to that one as well. A handful of bug fixes and new customization options are now available in the patch, including a wider range of available eye colors. EA has also promised more details in November's and December's patches, although it is currently known that November will bring back the ability to build pools, while December will add new careers and rewards. These patches are available via Origin and are free of charge to all players. The fans are also invited to visit The Sims 4 official blog to leave feedback and tell the development team what they'd like to see in the future expansions and content patches. Now, I will say this. This just tells me, more than ever, that they forced The Sims 4 out the door way too early. Just like they did... Mass Effect 3, Star Wars The Old Republic, Battlefield 4. I could tell by the way you reacted you have something to say.
Dude, a ship date is a ship date. And if it's got to go out in order to tie in with marketing, legal, you know, whatever, it's got to go out. Now, is it unfortunate that some features had to wait? Yes. Is it better than never getting them at all? Absolutely.
I would have just... preferred, you know what, I'm a loyal Sims gamer. I've played every single iteration of The Sims that have ever been released, except for the... Oh, I did play The Sims Social a little bit, but I never really got into it. But I would have been happy waiting another year for this.
Here's my issue. I played The Sims 3.
Okay. And you didn't like
it? Liked it a lot. No,
you liked it a lot. Okay.
Liked it a lot. It was, I was dungeon crawling in The Sims. I thought that was kind of awesome.
Oh, you took World Adventures?
Yeah, World Adventures.
I never played World Adventures.
World Adventures was a great pack.
I'll have to pick it up.
Here's the thing. For me, personally, it's too early because my computer crashed a few times. I lost all my game data, you know, so I had to restart a few times, and it's like, I just never got back to it.
Yeah.
You know, and right now, I've got other priorities. I might have to wait a year, maybe even two, to pick up Sims 4. But by that point, I'm hoping they'll have tons of great content for me.
See, but that's the problem with them. If everybody has that, you know, I'm going to wait because it's not finished yet. You know.
No, I'm not saying it's not finished yet. It's just that I know I'm going to want the additional content, so I'm going to wait for that content to be released, and the price of the original will have gone down by then because the original SKU will be seen as old.
Yeah. Like I said, I would have waited a year for it, you know, because honestly – by the way, ghosts had always had their own personalities in, I think, The Sims 2. I don't know about The Sims 3, but in The Sims 2, like, if one of your Sims died of starvation, if there was no food in the house, their ghost would appear and start haunting because they were pissed off that there was no food in the house. It would remind them of the way they died, you know?
And wait, that is supposed to... Wait, how was that ever communicated to the player?
Well... It wasn't. That's the entire point. It wasn't supposed to be a community. Your Sims are out of food, and it's like the ghosts would come back saying, hey, this is how I... Well, they didn't actually say anything. They would just appear, you know, and start...
That's a design decision that I don't agree with.
What?
If... Well, I mean, clearly, they've been doing this for 10 years, and fans, like me, people who have played the game and invested a great amount of time with it, you know, including ghosts. I mean, I didn't kill any of my family members, but I did kill neighbors. No, I killed everybody. I'd kill anybody who came to visit. It was fantastic. I had no idea.
Well, you know, the thing is that
I don't know. I find that to be a poor decision. It's not one I would have made.
I would kill the wife of my character's children, just so that every so often they would start. Hello?
Sorry about that.
I was just loading up Chucky's. Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Why would you do that?
I don't know, because I'm bored and you left me alone.
Well, I can't control when I get phone calls.
And you also totally made me forget where I was.
You were talking about The Sims 4 and Darth Vader.
No. I was talking about... Yeah, so anyway, I would often have the wife of my character's children die so that every so often they would just stop and break down in tears thinking about her. You know, just mourn her. Sometimes without warning, they would mourn her for 2 days, which in Sims years I think is like a couple of months, and then she would have a grave and they could mourn at her grave. So, I killed her because I needed the drama. So,
nah, I just killed people who came to visit, built a wall around them, and didn't let.
At
them
some
leave.
Point, they're gonna have to allow you to have a serial killer, so that when they come home, you can invent traps and you know that could be a really alternate version of The Sims is have a serial killer game in which the Sims meet serial killer and you have to invent inventive ways to kill them. People.
Yeah. See, here's my thought is that they kind of need to like make some toggleable feature where I don't need to interact with my neighbors because I don't want
what?
To. Like that's boring. Like that's boring to me.
Well, you can just have them talk to them on the phone now. I mean, you don't even have to have them come over. And that's outside the social thing.
Still boring.
All right.
They shouldn't make me do anything that's boring.
I just wonder what... See, Yoda's very small. I wonder what a Yoda costume would be like. You have a 6-foot Sim.
It probably looks like a Yoda Snuggie.
Snuggie? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Maybe like a bathrobe kind of deal.
I mean, but honestly, getting pools, you know... there are other features that are just too large that, you know, that I'd rather they have, which is why, you know, I think I'm just going to keep occasionally.
Well, this is why I'm rarely, if ever, an early adopter.
Well, no, I'm an early adopter, but I do research, you know, and if I see things that are making me go, no, I better wait, then I'll do that. I mean, I pre-ordered Dragon Age Inquisition because everything I've seen so far has been great. So, and
well, yeah, it's a fundamental difference in the way we live our lives. I mean, yeah. you know, my golden rule is that if I know I'm going to buy something, no spoilers.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
So anyways, we're going to move on to Litter Center feedback. Take it away, Paul.
From Alpha Shard at iPhone. I'm with Paul. I got and have an iPhone 4 for about 2 years. And don't like the idea of rushing to get things when they are first released.
Wow.
It'll take a while getting new consoles and phones.
Talk about good timing there. You said you don't like to early adopt, and boom, Alpha Shard says, I don't like to early adopt.
It's almost as if I read ahead. We all know I don't do that.
You didn't? Oh.
At Wastelands 2, I'm surprised Jonah didn't mention more of the Kickstarter games that have been successfully released when Paul said he knew of only one. There is also FTL, Broke Age, Shadowgate, and Shadowrun Returns. Pillars of Eternity is coming out, and I'm sure can be added to this list as well. If you only focus on the ones that fail, you're going to miss the ones that are succeeding.
You know what?
And I believe... Oh, no, we're going to get into the... Wasteland 2 has been fun thus far. I like being able to create and play, unlike in Fallout... Create a party, unlike in Fallout, where it's just you and some NPC... I also suggest trying out to use energy weapons as they seem to be very powerful to me.
Now, here's the thing I didn't mention all the ones because I do have a bunch of Kickstarter games that were released, like Strike Suit Zero and all that. But, you know,
Right. And I deliberately left out some that didn't, you know, I only mentioned the ones that came to mind because I believe my comment was in context of a particular level of success of names that could come immediately to mind.
And also, I got some board games that were on Kickstarter, like my Dungeon Dice game, and also the Drag Queen game, which I have to show you, because if you like Drag Race, you know, you'll love this game, because it's basically playing Drag Race.
I've told you about this a number of times, just because you think I might enjoy the narrative does not make it a fun game.
Well, we have to play the game, though. See, that's before you get inside that.
I'm just saying. You've never
You've never once
mentioned the mechanics of that game. As a game designer, I find that a little insulting. All right, moving
Anyway.
At Zelda Rumors, I don't recall or remember any of those, but I do agree with Paul on the whole feeling something is there if you should just jump one more block or open a locked door. You want to know what's there. Humans love mysteries. I do remember the stories about trying to find the lost level of Super Mario, which was actually true.
And
he's moving on to something else. There are a slew of crazy Harry Potter theories, and I do remember the Weasley is our king.
So I go back. What was that lost level of Super Mario? Do you know?
Yeah, there's a level, I believe it's a water level, of Super Mario that was there as a water testing platform for the developers, and someone figured out a way you can get in it, but there's no end to it. You just keep swimming until the time runs out and you die. You can never get back there.
I never liked water levels in any Mario game anyway, so.
Right, but I mean, it's clearly just there as a staging platform for having to test the water mechanic before going and building a whole level around it.
Do you follow Harry Potter?
Yes.
Okay, so do you remember, do you know any crazy Harry Potter theories?
He's referencing my lifelong belief that Weasley is our king.
Well, who's Weasley?
Ron Weasley. This is a theory I talked about last week. He's responding to something I said last week.
I don't, you know, the funny thing is I don't remember you talking about Harry Potter for some reason.
Okay, just to recap really quickly, the Weasley is our king theory says that it came out, the theory was posed around the time that book 5 was released. And what happened is that the theory maintains that everything that happens in the series is reflected in the chess game that we play in Sorcerer's Stone. So it points out that Harry only makes two moves, first to the right, at which point the queen kills, you know, the king, the queen kills somebody on the Harry's side of the board, and then Harry makes the second move to capture the king. They're saying this is analogous to the shift in the overall series over the 7 books, and that, you know, once we hit part 4, you know, once you hit book 4, the whole thing's going to start to take a darker turn. And that, you know, and which characters in the world of Potter are represented by which characters on the field in that chess game, and that Ron is clearly, you know, a knight, where Hermione is a steady rook, and that the queen on the dark side is, you know, symbolic of Bellatrix, and the king is obviously Voldemort and whatever, because it's Harry that takes the king and whatever. So this particular theory says that because Ron Weasley is playing not only as a knight on the field of battle, but as the player, an omniscient point of view, that this is supposed to signify to us that Ron is Dumbledore having traveled back in time.
Because there's an actual song named Weasley is Our King.
Right. And so all of that was supposed to be supporting documentation that the 7th book was going to reveal that at the end of this, Ron travels back in time and is actually Dumbledore, because at this point we knew nothing about Dumbledore.
Weasley is our king. Weasley is our king. He didn't let the quaffle in. Weasley is our king.
Right. But we're not talking about the song, Jonah.
Okay, I get it. I'm just looking at, yeah. Anyways, thing is, I don't know.
So anyway, that's the Weasley is our king theory. Dumbledore is actually Ron Weasley. Moving on to at the question of the week. As for falling for any of the game rumors, I don't think I really did. Most of the time I had sources to validate if it was true or not. I couldn't do anything or seemed astronomically impossible. I figured it was fake. However, the closest would be when Ares died in Final Fantasy VII. I'd say spoiler warning, but if you haven't played it yet, you're never going to. I wanted there was to be a way to save her, since you could actually save Garimo in Suikoden. You can't fault the logic of an angsty teenager. The more I thought about it, the more I realized she had to die for the story. It was her death that brings about the holy spell to save the world from Sephiroth's Meteor. So yes, listen to Paul. If it doesn't make sense in the story narrative, it probably isn't true. And if it's a game, it isn't worth your time.
So was 7 your favorite, or was 10 your favorite? I forgot.
10 is the one that made me want to be a video game designer.
Okay. Okay, we have another email from Arthur V at iPhone Yoga. It seems that someone did not pay attention during their physics lessons on the property of metals. I'm sticking with my iPhone 4S. Last thing I need is my phone going all Beyonce on me.
All the single iPhones.
But I'm sure Apple will fix it. When they had problems with the cracking screen, someone released a screen protector, which was used for attack helicopter windshields. You know, just in case you want to check your Facebook in the middle of a war zone.
You know what? I saw a report on this, and you know, the iPhone apparently withstands 70 pounds of pressure, as opposed to other models, which withstand 130 pounds of pressure. Mm. So, okay, they underestimated the amount of stress that a normal iPhone goes under. Mm. Time to fix it, guys.
At Windows 9, and 9 is spelled like the German word for 9. I mean, for no. Oh, Lord, another Windows edition. When will Microsoft understand that the best way to fix a mistake is never make it in the first place? I just hope they were reading their feedback and will make a definitive Windows experience, considering there is no alternative on the market. A good Windows is a necessity. Well, we did mention that they have the technical version that everybody can download now and try and take feedback for, which is what they did with Windows 7. At the question of the week, I don't browse the net that much, so I avoid most of the rumors. If I do hear something, I'll triple check it for confirmation. I think my favorite rumor was the Halo 2 Scarab gun. It was a plasma rifle that shot massive blasts of energies akin to the gigantic Scarab walking tank. It sounded like a hoax until people proved that it actually exists. This set off a chain of rumors of other hidden weapons all across the game. Countless hours were spent chasing ghosts in that game. A good marketing ploy if I ever saw one. My second favorite Bungie rumor was that Destiny had a storyline. Apparently it's hidden somewhere deep, deep within the game's code, and only the most dedicated players can find it. And that's sarcasm, because Destiny has a very thin story. And it's one of the biggest complaints about it. And like The Sims 4, there's a lot of theories going around that Activision stripped the game of a lot of its features and released it early. And that a lot of other podcasts like Eat Game Sleep, aka The Rebel FM, talked about how they visited Bungie, you know, and got to play the game. And the game that they were playing now is different than what they were playing, and that Bungie had a lot of ideas that they stressed they were going to use, and in the release version of the game are not there. And I know Paul is going to say, well, that's what happens. People are told, yeah, we don't want that, we want this, you know, and plans change over the course of, well, in this case, 7 years. And by the way, the
7 years is too long to be making anything, I'm sorry.
And it was supposed to be released 2 years ago. So this game was delayed for some reason. You know, so, yeah. Anyways, look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. If you enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast or the forums at GamingPodcast.net/forum, or send your comments to fans at GamingPodcast.net. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments. Yeah, it isn't that I'm tired. It's just that saying that bumper just, I don't know, it makes my mouth tired. So.
Well, then maybe there's less bumper that is needed.
No, I mean, it's fine. It's just one of those days. What is that in the background? Oh. Anyway, this
Joe Mama.
This is a shortish podcast, but that's okay. You know, we didn't really have much to talk about. I will say that last week's podcast was probably the funniest we've ever did, at least to me. There was a lot of laughing in that episode. Yeah. You were on all cylinders, especially when I started to say, well, excuse, and you cut me off.
You have no reason to do that other than to irritate me.
No, it's a reference. I wasn't trying.
You have no reason to do that other than to irritate me.
Come on.
You've been put on notice, Mr. Falcon. I'm just saying.
It's not my fault they had
that. That's 2 weeks in a row. That's two weeks in a row we've had this conversation.
It's not my fault they had...
Just saying. You've been warned.
So let me ask you a question. Do you actually ever watch those episodes of Zelda these days?
You know what? let me answer you by saying this.
No.
Yuck. Another boring kingdom in the another boring day in the magical kingdom of Hyrule. Stupid place. I used to roam the world, fighting monsters and sleeping in mud. A hero's life. Now look at me. Living in a castle, sleeping in a bed. Aren't I sweet? Yuck. Huh. I'd like to know one reason why I even stay here. Huh. Well, I guess there's one reason. Looking good, princess, especially from this angle. I told you you should have put it on a robe. Whoops. Guess I offended her royal prissiness.
Wow.
So, quite frankly, these are just playing in my brain at all times.
How about Captain N?
Don't even.
Anyways, how about the Super Mario show, though? It was like someone was on acid when they did that show.
No, none of those segments were worth memorizing. The Zelda cartoon, however, was fucking genius.
Okay. How about a Zelda My Little Pony crossover?
That doesn't make sense. I'm sorry, Link's horse's name is Catherine. We all know this.
You know, at some point, we're going to have to do an old Nintendo cartoon gaming pod. What's it called? Special episode. Just like you did with Jordan and Jennifer, the Doctor Who episodes. Maybe we could do a what's it called? Zelda, Mario Brothers, Captain.
We'll just stick that on the episode 200 idea board.
Oh, that's true. Anyways, thanks for listening in, and we will see you next week.
Bye, Bonds.
Excuse me, princess. Well, excuse me, princess. Hey, excuse me, princess. Hey, excuse me, princess. Hey, excuse me, princess. Excuse me, princess. Excuse me, princess. Well, excuse me, princess. Excuse me, princess. Well, excuse me, princess. Hey, excuse me, princess. Well, excuse me, princess.
Well, excuse me, princess.
Excuse me, princess. Well, excuse me again, princess.
Excuse me, princess.
Excuse me, princess. Well, excuse me, princess.
Wow. Excuse me, princess.
Well, excuse me, princess.
Well, excuse me, princess.
Well, excuse me, princess. Excuse me, princess. Excuse me, princess. Well, excuse me, princess. Hey, excuse me, princess. Well, excuse me, princess. Well, excuse me. Well, excuse me, princess.